Welcome back, everyone. This is Parenting Unplugged. My name's Monica.
And my name is Elisa.
If you listened in last episode, we were talking about kind of like the thoughts and feelings of before we kind of went into like our labor and delivery stories for us both. And today we really wanted to dive a little bit deeper into the actual labor process. So we really wanted to kind of get deeper into what really happened during the labor, kind of questions that came up, situations that arose, and anything
Challenges.
surrounding that, challenges,
A
exactly, the unexpected.
lot of unexpected, definitely surprises, things that you weren't expecting to happen. But yeah, I feel like labor is definitely one of those things that you can't really plan for. As much as you plan for it, things do tend to happen very last minute, and you kind of just have to be open to it. You have to. Although, even if you have a plan, just know that that plan might completely change at the very end, and that's totally okay. So,
Exactly. Yeah, and I think like what we were touching on last in the last episode, we were talking about, you know, what comes around the word of like control, and letting go of that control and allowing yourself to let go of the control. Because what we spoke about was, you know, when especially during labor, you don't necessarily have a choice. You have to let go of the control, and you have to, just let go. I think would be a fair statement. And just, you know, what's going to happen is going to happen, you know.
Absolutely. And I think also, Monica, I think it's also about like trusting your body, and trusting the baby, trusting your baby that the baby knows what to do. Like, this is at the end of the day, like we've said this before, and I'm gonna just keep saying it again. Like, we were born for this. This is like what is like engraved in us. And so trust that process that the baby is going through. And, trust that the baby knows exactly what it needs to do. So that's something that I also kept repeating to myself as, I went through my moments of like doubts and, feet my, trying to like overcome those like fears as well.
Yeah, exactly. And I think one thing that kind of came to mind, if you've been listening to previous episodes, you'd know that I was really fortunate to meet my now friend, who is a certified doula, when I was around 7 months pregnant. And something that she told me when I was pregnant that really kind of stuck in my mind was, you know, she said, "Monica, even if you was unconscious, you would birth your baby. Your body would birth your baby."
Imagine that.
Like, and when she said that, I was like, no way. You know? And I was like, and you know, that in itself, you know, and
Insane.
I'm quite a spiritual person. And you know, I live my life through kind of mindfulness moments. And when she said that, you know, it really allows you to realize how powerful you are, your body is. As a woman's body, if it's that powerful that it can birth a baby, and you know, you're not, even if you're unconscious, that's power right there. You know,
Oh
that's
yeah.
a it's big,
Oh
you
no,
know.
that's huge. And I swear, as you were saying this, like I'm already starting to tear up because the moment that I was delivering Gami, I felt so connected to her. And I remember the final push, and we're gonna be talking about this and, breaking down these moments, but I kind of want to touch on this quickly. The final push, I was just like literally speaking to her through my thoughts. And I was telling her, "Come on, baby girl, we're gonna do this. You got this. We're gonna do this together." And
Amazing.
I'm like literally tearing up over this because that's literally how, like, that is how I felt. And it's like it's incredible the way that our bodies know what they're doing, our babies know what they're doing. So trust that process and know that it will go whichever way is best for the baby, that is what's gonna end up happening. So
Exactly. And I think also, just as humans, we forget that we have like our mental self, right? That we have like our mind, but we also have our body. And our body, especially during the process of delivering your baby, your body has, it has so much knowledge ingrained into your body through just because you're a woman. Like we've said in our previous episodes, you're birthed as a woman with the ability to birth a baby. And sometimes we if you allow it, your mind can take over. It can consume you with this kind of mental load. But it is important, I think, to touch on this, and just say that it is really important for other women to share just how powerful you are, because your body is equipped to do this.
Absolutely. And every month that goes by in your pregnancy, those 9 months, everything happens for a reason along the way. So, different things are obviously like, oh, you see the hands and you see like the eyes are forming and like everything along the way happens for a reason, leading up to this very end point where labor comes in, where the baby, where you need to deliver the baby and the baby's going to be born. So everything is like timed perfectly. And so, I think that you need to like trust in that process, even if the process is a lot different from what you expected it would be. Regardless, it's, that you need to like trust that that is like what the baby needs, and it absolutely is. So,
So talk us through the labor process that you experienced.
Well, I mean, for me in general, I guess. If we want to start back to like where it happened for me. So, I mean, I did choose a hospital to deliver in. And the reason for that is because like I wasn't sure if I wanted to go completely unmedicated. So I was like, I'm gonna see if I need an epidural. So chose a hospital birth. And my midwife delivered at this hospital specifically. So the labor process for me, my water broke, and it broke on a day at around 11 a.m. It was funny enough. I was actually out grocery shopping. I was out grocery shopping because I
Of
was home
course.
from work, and I'm like, okay, well, I was expecting to deliver around those days. And I went out to get groceries because I'm like, well, when my mom comes over, I need to have like a full fridge because she's going to be cooking for us. So I'm going to go get these groceries. So I went out. I was absolutely huge. And I actually that morning, just a funny story, I pull up to get like a bacon, egg, and cheese in the morning, which is like
Oh, nice.
the sandwich in New York for like everyone to have. And I'm like, I'm gonna treat myself to a bacon, egg, and cheese. And when I get to the bagel shop, the guy at the front counter, I will never forget this. I will never forget this. The guy at the front counter, when I'm ready to pay, he tells me, "Oh, wow, you are ready to pop." And literally, that's what happened. I swear to God. Like 15 minutes later, I ate my sandwich there. I sat down, I ate my sandwich, and then I drive to the supermarket. I drive to Whole Foods. I pull up to Whole Foods, and my water broke. And I'm like, oh my God, this guy just told me that I was ready to pop, and I literally popped.
That's so funny. Cami must have liked that sandwich.
Oh yeah, I'm sure she did. And now she loves Whole Foods, and my water broke in front of Whole Foods, and she loves going to Whole Foods now.
That's hilarious.
So yeah, my water did break. I came back home, and another funny story, them was working from home, and I tell him, obviously hospital bags are packed and everything. And I'm like, I send him pictures, obviously, when I'm in my water breaks, I call him because I'm already kind of starting to get nervous. I'm like, my water broke, I come home, and he's like, hey. I'm like, hey, are you ready to go? And he's like, oh, wait, I have this one meeting. I'm like, what? Meeting? I'm like, no. What are we talking about here? We gotta go. And the thing was that he had just started a new job.
Oh,
So,
okay.
I think that he was like starting this, trying to stay on a good note and everything. And I'm, you know, he literally,
You're
I think
like, my water's just
he had
broke.
a
I need
month.
to get to the hospital.
Yeah, and I was like, obviously you're not joining the meeting, right? You're kidding, right? He's like, yeah, let me see what I could do. And I'm like, obviously I'm packing my stuff up. I'm like just getting my things ready. I don't know if I took a shower, but when I was done, he was done, thankfully. He was ready to go. So we left the house. And then I don't know. I think like we checked into the hospital around like noontime, and honestly, my contractions didn't actually start coming in until like the nighttime, until like 7 o'clock. So it took forever. We were just sitting around waiting for these contractions to start coming in. And they finally did. They just came in very slowly. And so it took a while. And so they did, you know, the doctors started asking me, started telling me that they might have to give Pitocin to have the contractions start coming in quicker because I wasn't dilating fast enough. So that was one of the things that I mentioned in my previous in our like previous episode, that I didn't want to take the Pitocin. Eventually, I after denying it a couple of times, they were like, "You have to take the Pitocin because we need you to start dilating." So then that's when I took the Pitocin, and then right after that, I want to say like my contractions started coming in much faster after that. And as soon as my contractions started coming in faster, they offered me an epidural. I denied the epidural the first time, because I felt like I was still good. I could still hold on a little longer. So I want to say that my contractions started coming in around 7, and then at around 3 a.m., I was about like 7 centimeters dilated. And around that time, that's when I actually took the epidural, because I was just like exhausted. I was just exhausted from like going through contraction for so long. And when they gave me the epidural, I think that I was so far along into it that I also like it wore off very quickly. So like my contractions were coming in so fast. That, you know, like the epidural wasn't really even doing much. I was still feeling my contractions really heavy. From what Demo tells me, and I don't remember this, Demo tells me that they gave me the epidural twice. So I don't remember that, but they did, just because I was still feeling everything. I was feeling every contraction. And I think it was because of that. I think it's because I held off. I was trying to hold off on everything, on the epidural, on the Pitocin as much as possible. But I think honestly, once you take the Pitocin, it's like almost inevitable that you're going to have to get an epidural because the contractions are just out of control. So, I mean, in my case, that's what happened. So then, you know, I did get the epidural around 3 a.m. and didn't have to start pushing until like 9. So then finally Kami was delivered at like 11:30. So around 11:30 a.m. I delivered, and it was just a very long process. From the contraction starting to come in at 7 p.m., I didn't deliver until 11:30 the next day. So it was definitely a very long process. I was absolutely exhausted. And yeah, I just like once it happened, I was just like I was just like in a daze. I don't even know I don't know what took over me. Like, I don't know how. But Demo told me that afterwards that I slept for like 7 hours straight, which I don't remember that. Yeah, I slept that long because I was that exhausted. So yeah, definitely unexpected. I didn't expect for it to be that long. I have heard, you know, other stories where women, the process can be just as long, but yeah, that was pretty much, I guess, my labor story. I don't think, you know, there were no complications, thank God. I did have some like tears, and they had to do some stitches. And you know, I have women that asked me like, oh, what was it like, you know, when after the baby came out, like having to get like the placenta out, or what was that like? And honestly, from what I remember, the hardest part was pushing the head out, and everything else just like, I don't know.
Yeah,
I
they
don't
say
even know.
that, don't
I
they?
don't even know what even happened to the rest. I don't even know. And the rest just came out, and like you don't even worry about the rest because it felt easy. But yeah, that's the truth behind my labor story. I think it was hard. It was long. I was exhausted, and it did affect me emotionally afterwards. I feel like I wasn't in the right headspace to be around my baby because I felt like I wasn't even conscious. I was absolutely exhausted. So, and I'm just giving you the raw, you know, version of it because this is like, you know, this is real. This is really how it went down. So how about you, Monica? How what was your story like?
Well, I mean, before I begin, I just want to like kind of give you an applause for like sharing that story, because I feel like for women to share their stories, it's very powerful. I want to begin by saying that, like it's very powerful for us to share our stories to other women, because we should. I feel like we should have that kind of that sharing and have that space. And like you did it, you were incredibly strong, and you went through that process like so many other women have done. And I think we just really need to be proud of ourselves. We need to take the time to really be proud of ourselves, and I don't think we do that enough,
That's true.
but I mean, my labor story was definitely not as I expected it to go. I kind of touched on this in the last episode. I really wanted to have a water birth. Even from the second I found out I was pregnant, I told my husband, I was like, I really want to have a water birth. And he loved the idea. He loved the thought of having a water birth. The hospital, so I did give birth in a hospital, and they did offer like a birthing suite where they had like a birthing pool in there. They had like mood lighting, they had like a stereo system so you can connect your little playlist and everything else.
Monica, and what was the reason why you wanted a water birth? Just
You
curious.
know what? I feel like I love nature. I love to connect with nature, and kind of I said in previous episodes, I'm very spiritual, and I really love what water represents in general in life, and I feel like if I could birth my baby in a natural element of water, I think that that would just be an incredible moment, not only for me but also for my baby. And
That's
I
very cool.
also, yeah, and I also really like the thought of like using the water as a relaxation technique for the mother, and I really like that. I really like the heat component, because they do make it warm, the water, for you to be in. And it just kind of just spoke to me. And like ever since I knew that you could have a water birth, like that was available in the hospital situation, I kind of knew straight away that's what I want to do.
Very cool.
And yeah, and
That's awesome.
I mean, my sister actually had access, my younger sister had access to a birthing pool as well, to one of her children. And I know she was like in and out of the pool, but just having that accessible, I think that was incredible to have the option of doing that, whether, from what I remember, what she told me about that kind of labor story, she was kind of in and out of the pool because it was a little bit hot, and then she was on the bed again, and she kind of had that option to be in and out.
Was she planning on delivering in the water, or was she just using it as like a technique?
I would say maybe a bit of both. I don't think she didn't have like a like, oh, it needs to, like, the baby needs to give birth like in the water, but I think it was a nice option to have that available for the mum and the baby. I will say though, from my experience, when you do your birthing plan and you say that you want to use a birthing suite, an epidural is normally not available because of the situation. Obviously, you're in a pool of water, and if you have an epidural, you need to be stationary. You kind of need to be in the same position, right? As you know. So when I did my birthing plan, I said no to the epidural. That's one of the things I did feel strongly about. And that's why it opened up the option of me having the birthing pool. I just want to kind of put that out there, because first time mamas out there may have that question as well. So obviously I had the birthing suite set up. I visited the hospital. I saw everything. I loved it. So when I actually went into labor, again, I touched on this last episode, but I was actually a week and a half early. I probably ate way too many dates and drank too much raspberry leaf tea. And I was doing these crazy yoga ball moves on my yoga ball. I remember George, my husband, was like, "Are you sure we should be doing all of this?"
Oh
And I was
my
like, "Yeah, it's
God.
fine." Like,
Ah!
I was like rolling around. And anyway, it was one evening. It was probably, I want to say, about 11 p.m. And I was kind of falling asleep. And then I kind of just felt like wet, like there was like water. And first of all, I want to say to like people that are listening that are pregnant, it's not like what you see on Friends where, like a gush of water comes down. Like it might be like that, but
Well, it
from my
might be.
experience, it might be. But from my experience, it was a tiny bit of water. It wasn't anything dramatic.
For me, it was a tiny bit too.
Yeah, right. So it's a little bit. And obviously I woke George up and I said, I think my water's just broke. And obviously he was like, really excited and anxious at the same time. So I took myself to the bathroom and I noticed there was like kind of like brown discharge. And I already kind of knew that that was the mucus plug. And also just want to put it out there that sometimes you do release your mu mucus plug, but sometimes you don't. It's
Yeah, I
kind of the
don't think I
same as
did.
when your water breaks, right? It depends from person to person. So when the mucus plug obviously came out, you are susceptible to infection if you don't give birth within a time period, right? So after that, I had to ring the hospital and I had to tell them that, my water's broke, my mucus plug has come out, and they said, "You know what? Just we're going to need to bring you in." Now, bearing in mind, the hospital was a good like 40-minute drive from where I was, so it was quite a distance. And obviously, in my head, kind of like yourself and Demo was like, "Okay, let's get the bag. Well, we already had the bags packed. Let's get in the car. Let's go, go, go." And I was with my mum and dad at the time, so obviously my mum was in the kitchen making coffees for everyone at like 2 a.m. My dad was getting the car warmed up because it was like cold outside, and I was like, "Oh my gosh, it's really happening," And we drove to the hospital, and I was kind of getting these kind of niggly pains, but nothing like crazy. But in my mind, I was like, "Oh my God, if these are contractions, like, I don't understand what the big fuss is about," And I remember having that thought, and I remember going
Literally, I'm
into
cracking up because
see,
that's like not
I
even.
know, right? So literally, I go into the room to get checked on, and she's like, "You know what?" She's asking how I'm feeling, and she was looking at me like, "If you can have a normal conversation right now,
Then, yeah.
you shouldn't be here right now." And I was like,
Exactly.
no, it's, maybe these are contractions." She's like, "No, honey, these aren't contractions." And I was like, "Okay." I said, "But my water's broken." And she's like, "Yeah, so we have to obviously keep an eye on you because you are susceptible for infection, and we can only allow you, I think it was like another 24 hours to dilate. If not, we're going to have to induce you." And one of the things was in my birthing plan, I really, really didn't want to be induced, which is kind of like Sod's law because I had to be induced three times, which I'll go into a second.
Gosh.
So they made us drive home and they said, "You know what, just go
Oh, they
home."
did.
So we drove all the way back home.
Oh,
And I was kind of up anyway, but I was, talking to my doula remotely. I ran a bath. I was kind of doing the relaxation techniques in the bath, and doing all the things. I think it was maybe a good 12 to 18 hours later that the contractions actually started, kind of similar to
What?
you, right? It was a very long time afterwards.
Exactly. Yeah, long
Yeah. And I
time.
was like, "Okay, it's happening now." And at first, they were kind of just mild, like kind of period cramps. And then after a while, they became more predictable. And I was on my yoga ball and I was kind of in different positions to the point where they were really painful. And so obviously, we rang the hospital up because they were kind of like, call us when they're getting more painful when you can't talk through your contractions and you have to really focus. So it got to that point and they were like, okay, I think you're ready to come back to the hospital. So I was literally up to the 24-hour mark because I wanted to wait as long as possible because I really didn't want to be induced, right?
Yeah, right.
And I remember the second time round driving to the hospital, which was completely different because these were full-on contractions now, you know, like I was gritting my teeth. I couldn't have conversation with anyone around me. And, you know, I was like, okay, this is starting, you know? And I had to give up the control to my husband. So George took control of the communication with my doula. He took my phone. He was, you know, talking to her on the phone. He was sorting the music out for me, doing all the things. And we get to the hospital and in my head, I'm thinking, you know what? I must be dilated by like 6-7 centimeters because I was in a lot of pain. And they were like, okay, so you are not even like 1 centimeter dilated right now.
What?
And I was like, are you freaking kidding me? Like, what do you mean? And they were like, we're going to keep you for a few more hours, but if you don't dilate, we're going to have to give you the sweep. And I don't know what they called it in the US, but that's basically when they sweep your cervix with two fingers. And I was like, okay. And so obviously I was trying to think to myself, you know, calm down, like you're going to be fine. A few hours later, I still wasn't dilated anymore, and but the contractions were still coming.
I was going to say, did they have you time the contractions at any point?
Yeah, we were timing the contractions, but when we got to the hospital, they kind of just scrapped it because they knew what to do from there. So we were timing it at home, and then when we got to the hospital, they were just kind of monitoring me. At this point, unfortunately, they said you can't use the birthing suite because it was just like I wasn't dilated enough. My blood pressure was slightly high. So all of those little things, like we said in the last episode, you have to almost plan for the unexpected because I didn't expect any of this. I thought I was going to walk into the birthing suite, go in the pool. I had like my little two-piece that I was going to wear in the pool. None of that happened. So I was kind of monitored and they had to do the sweep. They said it wasn't going to hurt and it hurt a lot. It really, really is something, you know, very personal because they have to really kind of put their hand and sweep your cervix physically. Which was really painful. And obviously I wasn't on any pain relief. And they said, okay, we've done the sweep. We're going to give you a few more hours to allow your body to dilate, your cervix to dilate. A few hours later, it was still not dilating that much. So they had to do the, I forget the name of it now, but they have to basically inject like a balloon type structure into your cervix and they feel something to expand the balloon to sort of say to your cervix, okay, come on, let's start the contractions now, kind of like a little prompt to start the contractions. That didn't work. So the third induction was the Pitocin, like what you had. And I really didn't want that, the same as you. I really, really didn't want that. But I had no other choice at this point. The contractions were really, really coming in. And I was like, okay, well, you're just going to have to do what you're going to do, right? So they gave me the Pitocin. And obviously, I did start dilating very fast. I did not have an epidural. I continued on. And one thing I did want to mention is, Noah, my baby, he was back to back inside me, so his back was against my back. And that's what you call back labor. So all of your contractions are in your back rather than your belly, which is excruciating pain. It's horrible, and I know mamas out there listening would agree if they've had the back labor too. And literally, I remember, I mean, at this point, we're going on, I don't know, maybe it's like a 24 hours now I've been in labor. It's you know, a long, long time. And I remember the point when Noah was crowning and he had the full head of hair when he was birthed. And, you know, George was like, oh my God, I can see the head. I can see the head. But I just didn't have the energy, you know,
The
like
strength.
the, you know, like 25 plus
Of
hours
course.
on, I just
Of
didn't
course.
have the strength to push him out.
Yeah.
So just to kind of end the story, the very long-winded story, I couldn't push him out. I was too exhausted, and they could see that. And they said to me, I had to sign a consent form to say that they wanted to put me in emergency theatre, to basically give me an episiotomy, which is basically when they cut your vagina, so they can use forceps to get the baby out. And I know from listeners in all different countries, forceps is illegal in some countries. In the UK, it is legal, and it is, they either said you can do this or you're going to have to get a C-section. And I really didn't want to have a C-section. I was petrified of a C-section. So I said, let's go for it. And, you know, thank God everything was fine and he came out. And they had to give me a spinal to do that.
The
Yeah, well, a spinal is basically a thinner needle than an epidural, and it
epidural.
basically works within 60 seconds, and it completely numbs you from your waist to your toes, like completely dead. And it works extremely quickly. So if you do have to do emergency theatre, that's normally what they give you. So after all of that, after basically, you know, almost birthing him natural, I did have to have a spinal, and he was delivered by forceps. But I do, I'm extremely thankful that he was healthy, that we were both okay. But it was a very drawn out
That's
process,
so long.
similar to you know, a very long, painful process. And you know, that's why when you ended up, you know, when you ended your story, I just wanted to take a moment to say, every mama out there is so incredibly strong to just go through their labor, because it's huge. You know, it is such, it makes it such a toll on your mental, your physical well-being. So yeah, that was
It's
my very incredibly long and painful story of how Noah came into the world.
Man, I feel like all like everyone's stories can change, and thank you so much for sharing that too, Monica, because obviously, you know, it's a lot. It's a loaded topic. And like to unpack all of that and to like remember everything that happened and kind of like have those emotions running through again. And you know, it's a lot. Obviously, you know, you want what's best for the baby. And also you want to, you know, you need to make sure that you are okay to be able to deliver the baby. So it's like so many things that so many moving parts. And then even like, you know, I can't even get into what it's like postpartum, you know, like whatever your labor story was is also going to affect your postpartum. As much as like women, you know, people don't like to talk about it, they don't like to admit it, but it absolutely does. So whatever your story was, it's going to have some kind of impact on your recovery and emotionally, physically. So there definitely is a lot there. And you know, you were touching on also your support system, on your partner and your doula. What do you feel as far as your support system? How do you feel like reflecting back on it? How do you feel about their support during your labor process?
Well, I think first of all, I do have to mention my mum as well, because she, I would not have been able to do that without her. I mean, I do feel very emotional just talking about it. And I will kind of talk about this more in our next episode when we talk about like the delivery of our baby and everything that happens after that. But during my labor, my husband George was actually breaking out in chicken pox, so I couldn't have a physical connection to him, and that brought on so many traumas that not many people know about. But my mum was my other birth partner in the room, and even though she is, you know, obviously like she's my mum, she she's of a certain age, and she was really helping me physically move around the room, getting into positions, because
So
my
good.
husband physically couldn't touch me
Oh my
because
God.
he it was and it's I'm saying this from a strong kind of
No,
mental
thank you so much for
perspective,
sharing
but
this because, yeah, that's.
it's I don't think it was really, really challenging, put it that way. It was a really, really hard situation to be in because I'm trying to
Oof.
focus on birthing my baby. My husband is petrified of passing something on to us because he's never had chicken pox before. And it can be very dangerous to the unborn baby, to a newborn baby. And so my mum took on a lot of the physical load, which I will be, there's not even words to describe how thankful I am for her. But
It's incredible.
it's but I would say that alongside my mum and my husband, my doula was incredible, probably up until the point where I couldn't really have that communication with her anymore, because obviously everything else took over because she wasn't physically with me. She was working with me remotely. But I would say for her to prep me, like when she was talking to me about breathing techniques, and she was kind of just talking to me in general, and telling me those the affirmations, telling George what to do as
Monica,
well.
as you're talking about this also just like came to me. I feel like Annie also kind of came into your life for a reason, and not
Oh,
just to guide you,
100%.
and not just to guide you through your pregnancy and your labor. I mean, George wasn't even able to be with you physically during your labor process. So Annie was part of this team that was able to like help you through, you know, like without Annie, you know, and just your mom. Imagine that, you know, that's just like that would have been a lot on your mom by herself. So, you know, I now looking back at it, I can see that Annie was definitely placed in your life for a reason, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And we will hear from Annie in future episodes, because she will be on the show with us, which we're very excited about. But she holds such a dear place in my heart, as well as obviously my husband and my mum, because she really did come into my life at the exact time that I needed her. And so I will forever be grateful for her as well.
I mean, for me, as far as like my support system, I was fortunate enough where I did have demo, and I couldn't have made it without him. So I can't even imagine what you went through, and I'm sorry that you had to go through that. So I can't even imagine that because demo absolutely guided me at every single step of the way, and I'm like I almost I'm sure I'm holding myself back here. I'm holding myself back because I don't want to break down.
I know, I know.
I'm
Yeah,
holding it
it's
back.
hard.
But so demo before baby Kami came, he also went through something in his family where he went through like a loss in his family. And so that he the person that he did lose, he had to take care of that person a lot. So I feel that part, him helping that person that passed away, helped prep for this moment for us, because he was so patient. He was so helpful, and he was just like there at every single step of the way. Like I don't even know how to explain it. I just felt like I was in a safe space. With him there. And I felt that we were on the same page and we were just pushing through it together. Although obviously I was going through it physically, he was su supporting every single step, every single thing that I needed. He was there. And I felt like I was in a really good space to deliver Gami. So, I'm
That's
sorry that you that
incredible.
Yeah, I'm sorry that you had to go through it, and you're this is how like stories can be so different.
I mean, the stories can be so different because I mean, I am so proud of our husbands for enabling us to feel that we could be in a safe space, because I think that that is so important for women that are going through labor to feel like, as long as you feel like you're in that safe space, anything is possible, you know? And even though George couldn't physically, you know, touch me or and guide me in that support in that way, his voice guided me through, you
Man.
know, like his voice did. And I had the physical touch from my mum, I had the support from Annie, my doula, and I had
You
the
had your
voice of my
team.
husband, and I could see him, you know, and
You had your team.
I had my team, and that's all I needed, you know.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, either whether you have a team or you have a single person, I think that it is important to have somebody that can be there as a support for you, because obviously there's a point that you start kind of losing control, and someone needs to be like the person in control of the room, of what's happening in the room, of that person that's aware of your birthing plan and that is guiding you, and through the steps of of like what you want your delivery to look like. So, that's why it's important also to communicate that with the person beforehand, and have someone there that you can like genuinely trust. Wow, I'm like almost shaking after this episode, because that was a lot, and that was so good. Thank you so much for sharing, Monica. This was like really
Thank
good.
you for sharing. I mean, we are just, I feel very blessed to have this platform with you now to be able to share these stories. And I mean, this was definitely a bit unexpected, all of the emotion that's come through on this episode. I think we can both definitely say that. But like I keep saying, like it's so important for us women to have a space that we feel safe in, that we can share, and
That
we can
we,
discuss, and we can
yeah.
collaborate.
Yeah.
And we would love to hear your stories out there, our listeners. Like, please, follow us on our Instagram, email us, let us know your stories, let us know your side.
For sure. We would love to hear everyone's stories and how they went through things and how they were able to navigate through this like crazy time. I mean, that's pretty much like what you can call it. But thank you all for joining today. I really appreciate this space. I appreciate everyone listening, and we love every single one of our listeners. Thank you so much for joining, everyone.
Yeah, thank you so much. And join us next time where we
Please
will
do.
continue this discussion. And yeah, we do apologize. I know this has been an extra long episode, but I mean, there was just so many emotions to go through. So we really appreciate you listening and your support. And yeah, we can't wait to tune in next time.
Stay tuned, everybody.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.